military service. We believe here at my church is to be scheduled and to be organized and to have a plan. But above it all, it's to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. So I'm going to let him do whatever he wants to do. Today I'm supposed to preach to you, and I have a whole sermon prepared that I'm not even going to look at, because I thought that's what I was supposed to teach to you and preach to you. But to my surprise, that's not what I was supposed to teach and preach to you. You see, God led me to study that sermon, to prepare for that sermon. But what he wanted me to come and talk about wasn't the sermon in and of itself, was the preparation for that sermon, was the time that I spent considering how to bring this sermon. I swear, I don't get it. In the Bible, there's this guy named Mephibosheth. And we're going to speak about him a lot next month. But today we're going to bring you a sneak peek of his life so you can be up to date what's going on. It's his name of this man called Mephibosheth. This man, this child, he was 5 years old. 5 years old whenever they brought him the news that his dad and his grandfather had died. His dad's name was Jonathan. His grandfather was named Saul. It was King Saul and his son Jonathan. They were killed in battle. And now, because the lineage of the kingdom was going to change, because there was no longer the Saul family, wasn't going to be king. Now it's going to be the David family. The thing that you have to do is that you have to eliminate anybody that was under Saul, so that if someone was to inherit that kingdom, they had to kill that person, so that person would inherit the kingdom. Meaning that Mephibosheth was the first person that's supposed to be killed. And you have this five-year-old little kid in the courtyard playing, when all of a sudden he hears that his dad and his grandfather has died, that David was going to become the king. Most likely somebody's going to come and kill him. So his servant grabs this little boy, five-year-old, and takes off in a hurry and drops him. And his legs get paralyzed. He drops him and he loses his legs. So 5 year olds, and now his life has completely changed, because they grabbed him and they took off with him in a rush. So he fell and broke his legs. Years after that, this kid called Mephibosheth is living in a separate place, and King David says, is there anybody from the house of Saul? Is there anybody from the house of Jonathan, the two that have died? Because I want to bless them, is what he said. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and they can put it up on screen. Because I want to bless him. You don't need to know what's going on for something to be going on. You don't need to know what's going on for something to be going on. That's why every decision in life is so important. Because it can mess something up that can be right in the corner. This kid, Mephibosheth, he doesn't know. He's in a different land, and he doesn't know what's going on. But King David is asking for him. His name is being tossed around in conversations that will change everything. But he doesn't know it. So what's the point? Point number one for you, for your life. It's coming straight. I'm talking to you. God's talking to me. This is how it's going on right now. Point number one. Maybe you don't know it yet, but God's been tossing your name around, just like David was tossing Mephibosheth's name around. Maybe you've been living in a dry land like Lodabar. Listen, maybe you've been living in a dry land. Maybe you've been living in an insignificant place with broken legs, thinking that that's your life and that's how your life is going to be. Because somebody hurt you long ago. Somebody dropped you and they hurt you. And now you think that the rest of your life is going to be just like that. But what you don't know is that up in heaven, an almighty God is talking to his angels and is throwing your name around. He's saying, hey, where's Hannah? Talk to me about Hannah. because I want to be with Hannah. I want to talk with Hannah. And something's going on in Hannah's life. And Hannah doesn't know it. Hannah's living in a corner, not knowing what's going on, thinking that for the rest of her life she's going to be broken. And the first thing that God wants me to tell Hannah, and the first thing that God wants me to tell every single one of you, is that no matter what you're going through, if you're trying to open up a campus, if you're trying to open up a campus and get it full, if you're trying to impact the world, or if you're trying to fix your marriage, no matter what you're doing, no matter how messed up the situation is, there's a breakthrough coming around the corner because God's throwing your name around. There's a breakthrough around the corner because God's throwing your name around. Hold on, because there's a breakthrough around the corner because God is throwing your name around. He's throwing your name around. There's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming. Look, look at the second thing. Look at the second thing. Put me the other verse. Verse number two. Verse number two. So now there was a servant from Saul's house. There was this guy that was with Saul, and his name was Ziba. So they say, go get me Ziba, because Ziba knows things. Go get me Ziba, because Ziba knows things, man. Ziba knows where this kid is. So they go get him. Look at the next verse. So they go get him, and he says, at your service. Next verse. Then the king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul whom can show God's kindness? Is there no one around? And look at what Ziba says. He answered to the king, there's still the son of Jonathan, and his name is Mephibosheth. But he's lame. But he's lame. That's what he says. There's a guy. Look at what he's saying. A man is standing. Come on, come on, come on. A man is standing in front of the king. Now, I'm not talking about Mephibosheth anymore. A man is standing in front of the king because the king is asking for him. The king wants to do something with him. The king wants to do something with him. And he's asking for him. But there's a man standing in front of there saying, there's a guy, but he's lame. There's a woman out there. There's a lady out there, but she's broken. She's broken. She's sinful. She's messed up. She's not good. He's not good enough. There's a guy out there, but he lost his leg. He's broken. He doesn't have what it takes. He's not what you're looking for. Listen to me. Listen to me. Number two, because somebody's got to listen to this. Your problems will be a burden for those that are not meant to be with you. Let me repeat that. Your problems will be a burden. Your challenges will be a burden for those that are not meant to be with you. But for those that are meant to be with you, your problem and your challenges are common ground. I said, what are you talking about? That maybe, just maybe, the reason that person never wants to help you, and the reason that person never wants to cooperate with you, the reason that that church hasn't opened the doors, the reason that that guy hasn't opened the doors, the reason that lady hasn't opened the doors, is because your problem to him is a burden that they don't want to carry. The reason your dad is rejecting you is because your problem to him is a burden. That's why they don't want to be with you. They're not meant to be with you. You can't cry over these people. What you do is that you search for people whose problem, whose challenge is not a burden for you. It's common ground. Why? Because we see it as an opportunity for God to do what he wants to do. The king is asking for you. And the people that are going to come with you to meet the king are people that share your passion, that share your passion, that share your burden and your fire for Christ. Those are the ones that are going to be with you. If it's too much for them, if it's a burden for them, let them go. Because they're not supposed to be with you in the first place. Let them go. Go get those that share common ground with you. So look at what happens. Look at what happens. The king doesn't care. Hey. Come on, this is for somebody. The king doesn't care that the person he's asking for is lame. He knows that. The king doesn't care that that person goes to trouble. The king doesn't care what you went through in the past or where you failed. He doesn't care about that. He still wants you. Look, where is he? But he's lame. Where is he? but he's about to go through a divorce. Where is he? But he's confused. Where is he? But he doesn't have what it takes. Where is he? Seba answered, well, he's over there. He's at a house. Next verse. Next verse. He's at the house. So King David brought him from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. Look, next verse. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down and paid him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service. Now you have to understand, you know how hard it must be for this guy to stand in front of the king? This situation right here is hard for two people. One of them is in the room. Another one of them is not. And I want to talk to you about that. Listen to me because I'm preaching to you. I want to talk to you about that. First person that this situation is hard for is for Mephibosheth. Because he's kneeling down in front of the king, looking at what could have been. Looking at what could have been. He could have been the king. He could have been the man. He could have been sitting in that chair where the king was. You know how hard it must have been for him to see and think about what could have been? You know how hard it must have been for a man to let go of his dream? For a man to let go of his baby? To let go of what God had given him? And he thought that that was going to go big. He thought that that was the answer. He thought that that was the thing that we were supposed to do. And now he's standing in front of the king realizing that the dream that he had, it wasn't for him. It was for somebody else. Maybe you lost a dream. Maybe the life that you want, you see it played out in somebody else's life. And just like Mephibosheth, you stand and you look and you wonder what could have been. Here's the problem with that. That your current situation, listen, that your current situation can either be a reason of regret or it can be a motivation for a fight. Your current situation can be a reason to regret or can be a motivation to stand up and fight. He's standing in front of the king and he's looking at what could have been. And in his situation, he had failed. And in his situation, he hadn't done good. So he could have taken this and lived the rest of the life in regret because he wanted to be the king and he couldn't have been. But the only thing that that's going to do is that he's going to lose other blessings thinking about the blessings he already lost. You're not going to gain what you want thinking about what you don't. Hey, you're not going to gain what you want thinking about what you don't have. It won't work. So instead of regretting, he needs to start looking at the future and stop looking at the past because God wants to do something big. Second person, this is hard too. This is super hard for Jonathan. Oh, sorry, but Jonathan's dead. Yeah, if you didn't, Jonathan's dead. Jonathan is Mephibosheth's dad. This is super hard for Jonathan. Why? Because Jonathan helped David. And the only thing he asked in exchange was for David to help and take care of Mephibosheth. And now if Jonathan would have been there, he looks at his kid. And last time he saw his kid, he could walk. When he struck a deal with David, the kid could walk. When he talked to David, the kid was royalty, had where to sleep, had food, had a good place. And now he's standing in front of the man that he helped put in that kingdom. And his kid is kneeling down before him. This could have been really hard on Jonathan. Because Jonathan had done something and didn't see results, didn't see immediate results. But just because you don't see immediate results, that doesn't mean you give up. Because if you give up, you won't see results at all. Just because you did something that you thought would help and it didn't help in the moment, that doesn't mean you stopped doing the right thing. Just because you thought that church was going to grow and it didn't grow the way you thought it was going to grow in the moment, it doesn't mean you stopped doing church. Because if not, then there's no church at all. It means you push. It means you trust that my God owes nothing to no one. Owes nothing to no one. So what are you saying? that when you do the right thing for God, when you do the right thing for God, when you do the right thing for God, even if you don't see results in the moment, you better believe that God will come through. Because the problem in this world is not God not coming through. The problem in the world is not men not letting God come through. The problem in the church is not God not showing himself and moving and healing. The problem in church is church not allowing the place for God to move and do what he's got to do. The problem ain't God. The problem is us. So what you do is that you trust that God will come through. It doesn't matter your pain. It doesn't matter your embarrassment kneeling down to the man that you were supposed to be. It doesn't matter. You trust that even when you feel like it's all slipping away, God will come through for those that trust him, for those that believe in him, and for those that don't hold him back. Look at what happened next. Look at what happened next. This is it. This is my sermon. Now listen, before I finish, I want you guys to understand that this might be just for you guys. This might be just for you guys. And I'm okay with that. Because we're about to take a step. It's going to take us to the next level. And before going to the next level, we got to complete this one. We ain't going to go to the next level before we finish what we started. Josue, what did we start? You know where we started? We started a campus and a church that lets God move whenever he wants to move. We started a campus and a church that knows who he is. He's the one that accepts the addicts, so we did the same thing. He's the one that believed in his power, so we did the same thing. He's the one that moved and healed, so we did the same thing. Let's finish where we started. Let's finish where we started. So that God can bless what we're about to take on. Sit down, sit down. Now I can finish. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The king is talking to broken men, to broken women. Don't be afraid. For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. And you will always eat at my table. And you will always eat at my table. Because I know your legs are broken. And I know your legs are messed up. But you know what's awesome? That even with broken legs and broken arms and a broken heart, when you sit at the king's table, you have power. When you eat his food, you have authority. And ain't nobody see your legs when you're sitting down in the table. Nobody sees your legs. People see your eyes. People see your heart. And most of all, people see a king sitting right beside you, giving you his food, touching you with his hand, drinking out of his cup, putting your head in his chest, grabbing you by the hand.
Ain't nobody see your brokenness when Jesus is in the room. Ain't nobody see your failures when Jesus is in the room.
Oh, sir, what are you saying? I'm saying, here's my message. My dumb, short message that I didn't even know I was going to preach today. My message that God gave me as I spoke to you, I opened my mouth, you heard it for the first time, I heard it for the first time. Those are the best ones, man. Because it can't be me. I'm not even looking at my iPad. It's got to be God. It can't be me. Don't leave this place and say, wow, Josue preached really good. And don't leave this place and say, wow, Josue preached pretty boring. Because whatever you say, you're saying it to God. Just saying, I'm warning you. Here's the message that I just finished as I was talking to you. I understand that you're broken. I understand that somebody let you down and you broke your legs and you've been living your life with yesterday's failure. I understand that. You're hurt. I understand that you live in Lodaban, a place with no prestige. Hey, you want to know something cool? Ah, thank you. I want to know something cool. Mephibosheth wasn't his name. They named him something else. When he was born, the name they gave him, and you can find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, if I'm not mistaken, Jonathan's kid was Melibar or something like that. And what that meant was slayer of Philistine, ruler and king. But when he broke his legs because somebody let him down, they changed his name to Mephibosheth, which means carrier of shame, the shame of your father. What are you saying, Josue? I understand that you're broken. In fact, you might be so broken that you don't even think it's broken anymore. In fact, you might be so knee deep, neck deep into your trouble and your sin that when you look at yourself in the mirror, you no longer see Josue. You no longer see who you are. You no longer see Justin. You no longer see Lauren. Now you look at yourself in the mirror and what you were going through became who you were. Now you look at yourself in the mirror and you see a failure. Now you look at yourself in the mirror and you see a quitter. Your name changed because you were broken. I understand that it hurts. I understand that you're broken, and I understand that you feel like you failed and you have not accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish. I understand. That's my message. I understand that. But I also understand one more thing. I understand that God's been throwing your name around up in heaven. I understand that God has been opening up a place for you at his table. God's been opening up a place for you at his table. And not to eat once, not to eat twice, not to eat three times, not to have one victory, not to have two victories, not to have three victories. To eat at his table always, every single day of your life. God wants you at his table. The king wants the broken man. He doesn't want the one that can walk. He wants the one that can't walk. He doesn't want the one that was successful. He wants the one that was a failure. He doesn't want the one that figured it out in the first shot. He wants the one that's going to take him two shots to figure out how to do church. God wants that person sitting beside him. Here. one was part of my sermon. Because you've been told your whole life that good things happen to those who do good. Good things happen. This one's too good. I can't let it pass. Good things happen to those who do good. Put it up. Put it up, guys. Put it up for me. Good things happen to those who do good things. You've been told that your whole life. Good things happen to those that can walk. Good things happen to those that live in the house of the King. Good things happen to those who do good. And don't get me wrong, I believe that's true. I believe good things happen to those who do good. But I don't like that version. I don't like that version because that's the typo. That version is a typo. That version is misspelled. And I don't like it because even though it's good and even though it's true, it doesn't wake me up in the morning and motivate me to believe in myself, even though I'm broken, to look at myself in the mirror and believe not in what I see, but believe in what he sees. That doesn't wake me up in the morning and give me hope that I'm going to succeed, that I'm going to break these chains and that I'm going to fix my marriage. That doesn't wake me up in the morning. That's the typo version. That's the misspelled version. So what are you talking about? What wakes me up in the morning is the real version, the original OG version of that statement that people don't tell anymore. Good things happen to those who do good. That's a typo. The real version is God happens to those who do good. God happens to those who do good. Not good things happen to those who do good. God happens to those who show up in the front porch of the King and give themselves to him and say, I was broken, but I know you want to do something big with me. Here it is. Let's go home. I got a baby dedication. That's why I look nice today. It's a baby dedication after this. I'm the godfather. First time I'm a godfather. Thanks to Mike and Chastity, I'm a godfather. I might actually start using that as my nickname. Hey, it's real. I really am a godfather. I ain't lying. So from now on, when you guys see me, whenever I become a pastor, don't call me pastor. Whenever you see me, don't say Brother Josue. Say godfather. What's going on? It's a baby dedication, man. I need to finish. And I'm struggling preaching this sermon because I know that this is probably the most fiery sermon that you're supposed to hear in your life. I don't have a voice to give you a fiery sermon. But God knows what he's doing. He doesn't want you to get up out of your chair because of emotion or because I yelled and gave you the goosebumps. He wants you to get out of your chair because he right now is setting up a table up here. So I'm not meant to motivate you with my voice. I'm meant to tell you the truth. Right now, as we speak, God is setting up a table right here in the altar. And here's the thing. The King is calling your name. Because you've been doubting way too long, man. You've been doubting way too long. And I'll tell you what I told you in the beginning, which was what God told me there that broke me down and made me shed more tears than I can remember. I didn't think that I was going to be able to do this. I couldn't get a hold of myself because of this simple thing that God told me when he called my name and he invited me at the table. Right there, he said, Josue, do you know who I am? Do you know what I called you to be? Hey, do you know who I am? And do you know what I have called you to be? Don't go live in Lodabaon. Don't go live away from the King. Because you can't see what he sees. Go live with the King. Go sit at his table because you're broken, because you feel incapable, and because you don't know if we're going to make it or not. Go live there. Go sit at the table with the King and let him feed you always. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I'll tell you why. In simple words, you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no right. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God is glory. And the table has been set. This is the kingdom. And the King is calling the broken man. And the King is calling the broken name. The King has set up the table and is telling every single one of them, you have no rival. And is telling every single one of us, do you know who I am? Do you know what I do? Do you know that I divided the Red Sea? Do you know that I forgive the sinner? Do you know that I lift up the humble? Do you know that I provide for the poor? Do you know what I do? Do you know what I do? He has no rival. He has no rival. The table has been set. Come eat at the table. Come eat at the table. All you got, all you got. Come on, all you got.
He's the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus Christ, you're what? You're what?
My
you're a King! Here it is, here it is, here it is. I want everybody with your eyes closed and with your hands raised up in heaven. Listen to me. The King has spoken and it's coming. Your blessing, it's coming. Hey, hey, the house will fill up. Hey, the marriage will be restored. Listen to me. These are not just words that are coming out of my mouth. God is speaking to me, and he's speaking to Pastor about what the King is going to do. Listen to me. The King is going to provide for your house. The king is going to give you your ministry. Listen to what the king is going to say. He's telling you through me. He's telling you through Pastor. Listen to what the king is going to do.
The king will take away, he will take away that image of lame that you have. He will take it away. Whatever people were seeing you, the king said that when you sit at his table, it will be taken away.
Listen, the king will give you a place to sleep. He will give you a place to go work. And he's going to provide for you every need.
The king is going to take care of your children. The king says they are my children before they are your children. Are you listening? They are my children before they are your children.
The king is going to use us in a powerful way. And he's going to take us to the next level. Because we know who he is. And we know who he called us to be.
The king says, you sit at my table, you shall not need nor want. For I see you with my own eyes. I see your hands raised. I see the worshiper you are. And I have you close to me. The king says, I see you.
The king says, he called you. And there's nothing that you can do that can make him want that back. He called you. And he will give you the tools you need to get to where you gotta go. He called you. And he will give you the tools you need to get to where you gotta go.
The king says, I brought you here. You've been question not anymore. I set the table because I brought you here. You wanted to serve me. You wanted a change, and I set it up for you. That's why I brought you here. I brought you to set up the table that you needed to feed off of. That's why I have you right next to your beloved right now at this altar.
God knows how to bless his children, and he knows how to honor those that honor him. He has no rival and no equal. Listen to Pastor's prayer and give him everything you got.
Say with me, God Almighty, I believe that even though I am lame, You have a space.
At your table.
For me.
I declare.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
That I am.
Covered.
Blessed.
And anointed.
Amen.
Amen.